All right, it's Rivalry Week here on The Fan, and we haven't had a ton of chatter about the Apple Cup leading up today, so we figured we'd carry the torch, and that leads us to Chris Fetters, Dogman.com, who joins us again as our Husky Insider. We're happy to have you, Chris. And we had Alex Brink on in the first hour of the show, and I asked him this question, and I'm curious the perspective from you and Husky Nation as well, whether it's fans, the administration, how do they feel about this rivalry going forward? Because in our land, Oregon State feels like the sky is falling and their fans are turning on this rivalry. Where does it sit up north in the Husky land?
Yeah, I think it's just, I just feel like a lot of Washington fans are of the opinion that the rivalry really doesn't exist anymore. I mean, now that you've got the teams in totally different conferences, the game has to be a non-conference game. So that means every other year you're giving up an opportunity to play the possibility of a premier non-conference opponent, maybe like an SEC opponent or a Big 12 opponent or an ACC opponent. And you're basically seeding that so that you can go play your in-state rivalry. To me, at this point, it's rivalry and geography only. It's starting to feel more and more, guys, like this is going to end up like the Colorado State rivalry, where for the longest time that I can remember, they played it in Denver in the Broncos Stadium, Mile High. You know, they played it at a neutral site. It was an early season game. It was like, okay, we're in the same state together. People expect us to play each other, so we're going to go do it. And I asked Jed Fish for his personal opinion on it, whether he'd like to see the rivalry continue, and he basically says, I don't know any coach in the country that wouldn't want to play their in-state rivalry every year if it makes sense. And that's the problem, though. Does it make sense? And right now, I think both programs are really struggling with whether or not it makes sense, and especially on Washington's end.
I'll take a look at the actual game itself. Washington hasn't played anybody. Colorado State and UC Davis are not exactly measuring sticks that you want to have. So you're looking at this Washington State game as like, okay, let's have a little bit of a measuring stick. Oregon has kind of the same situation taking on Oregon State and going, can you give us something ahead of taking on a top five Big Ten team next week? And for UW, it's Ohio State. For Oregon, it's Penn State. So for Washington, how do they look at this game? How do they prepare for it? What are the kind of the earmarks that you're looking for them, not only to come out from a win, but to kind of set themselves up for a massive game against the Buckeyes next week?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that this was a real shock to the system for Jed Fish in his first year last year, losing the Apple Cup, because first of all, they were all trying to just get familiar with the game in general, what it meant to everybody in the state, you know, the dividing lines, east-west, the whole bit. And for them to lose that game on Washington's very, very last play of their, you know, basically their last offensive possession of the game on a crazy kind of short side option to Will Rogers, a guy that normally doesn't run, it was tough for them to take. And I asked Jed Fish about this yesterday, specifically because that year, this last year, he brought in a number of different former players like Lawyer Malloy, Michael Jackson, some of these guys that had won Rose Bowls and won big games like the Whammy in Miami, and just try to get these guys fired up because there was so much roster turnover last year in terms of Washington. And basically, I asked him, who'd you bring in this week? You know, who were some of the guys that you leaned on to try to get these guys going? He goes, we didn't have to lean on anybody. He goes, our motivation in this game is clear. They took the trophy from us. We know how it felt in that locker room after that loss in Lumen Field last year. We got all the motivation that we need in this game. So you can throw the records out. You can throw everything else out. I mean, I'm looking at the Apple Cup record and the history of this series, guys. Washington State has never beaten Washington more than two times in a row, ever, ever. Washington's done it three times or more in a row, 10 different times. Like I said, this has become a rivalry in geography only. But if Washington needed any extra motivation or any extra incentive in this game, they got it last year, and they got a big steaming pile of it, and they don't want to feel that way again.
Chris Fetters, Dogman.com, is our guest today. He's our Husky guy, and we're here for Rivalry Week. I'm going to ask you kind of a broad question, Chris. Kind of twofold here. How good is this team? And what is this team's identity? Usually, Jed Fish year two, is when things really start to pop. But as Danny was saying, it's hard to kind of tell from the first two games and then now a bye. What do you think the identity of this team is, and what is their strongest strength?
Well, I think offensively their identity was probably focused around their kind of their three-headed offensive monster in terms of the quarterback, Damond Williams, the running back, Jonah Coleman, and the receiver, Denzel Boston. Those were the three kind of noted names going into the season that everyone knew about, even nationally. Those were, you know, people, when people talk about, you know, from an offensive skill set, you know, who are the triple threats out there that a team can possess? Well, Washington, I think, in my opinion, has one of the best triple threats in the country when you talk about Williams and Coleman and Boston. Those guys are proven, they're productive, and even though Damond Williams is just kind of scratching the surface of his potential, he still played in a number of games and started games. I mean, his first start ever was last year at Oregon when Oregon was number one. That's straight from the frying pan into the fire. So he's seen it. He's seen it up close and personal, and so he knows what's going on right now, and his potential is limitless. So, you know, that was one of the real talking points. But I also think the main talking point for Washington right now, going into this kind of the rest of this season, is the improvement on both lines of scrimmage. Speaking of the offensive line, you've got a lot of continuity there. You've got a couple guys that return in the center, Landon Hatchett, and the right tackle, Jerez Aparty. But you also got Garen Hatchett coming back from Oklahoma. He's Landon Hatchett's brother, started out at Washington, so there's continuity there. And then on the left side, they brought in a couple guys, true freshman John Mills at left guard and Carver Willis from Kansas State at left tackle, arguably one of the best tackle prospects that was out there in the transfer portal this last spring. So, you know, they've got some continuity there. They've got a lot. They got a lot bigger on both lines of scrimmage. I took a look last year to this year. In terms of their official depth charts, they're about 10 pounds bigger per player across the offensive line. That was one of the real mandates from Jed Fish. He wanted to get them bigger, just wanted to get them looking bigger coming off the bus. That's kind of one of the hallmarks that you have to be when you go into Big Ten play. You just have to compete physically with a lot of other bigger teams. And so that has been accomplished. And then, you know, just in general, I think defensively, the big kind of talking point going into the season was Ryan Walters coming in, the former Purdue head coach, who was also the architect of one of the really, really good defenses at Illinois, one of the top defenses in the country a few years back, and whether or not he could kind of, you know, kind of go from where Steve Belichick had the defense last year and kind of push on. And that seems to have happened a little bit, but you guys are right overall. It's hard to really forge identity after just two games, and especially two games against opponents where it's hard to judge exactly where progress has really been made. But again, when you beat a team 70-10 against a UC Davis team, yes, they're an FCS team, but going into that game, they're a top five FCS team. These guys weren't necessarily considered the cupcake that everyone now considers them because Washington put a 60-point beatdown on them. So it's, again, hard to tell. But, you know, at least when you put 70 on a team, you've got to be feeling super, super confident going into your next game, whether that's the following week or if it's after a bye week.
Kind of following up off of that, what are the, I don't want to say fears, but like what are the things if you're Washington, if you're looking at Washington State going, we need to be careful of this, because it's obviously difficult with Washington State coming off the loss that they just took it, to look like they're striking much fear. But if you're UW, how do you look at Washington State right now and say we need to protect against X or Y to make sure last year doesn't happen?
Well, yeah, first of all, it's got to start with them. I mean, they can't guard against being complacent, starting out slow, letting Washington State take the game to them. They've got the better talent. They've got they're in a better frame mind, for instance. They've got to take the game to them because they have everything going in their favor on paper. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, and then Jed Fish talked about this when they were talking about Colorado State preparing for them, you know, with new coordinators, new personnel, everything else, and you don't have really any film to go on as far as Colorado State. They had to go to other schools, like Tyson Summers, the defensive coordinator at Colorado State now. They had to go back to his previous place at, like, Western Kentucky and other schools he's been at to really kind of form an opinion about what they thought they might see. Well, with Washington State, it's the exact same thing. The only difference is now they have that North Texas game film they can watch. They have that San Diego State film that they can watch. They have that Idaho film that they can watch. That's the main thing. But with Washington State, the personnel is so, I mean, it's absolute night and day. I mean, obviously John Mateer not being there is the highlight there. But Wayshon Parker, their freshman running back, who did really well for Washington State last year, he's at Utah now. They, you know, Tariq Budalukta is now at Washington. He was one of the main linebackers for Washington State last year. But, you know, according to Fish, he said yesterday that Washington State has 75 new players in their program from last year. You look at their depth chart, there is absolutely nobody. I mean, dead zero, guys. There is nobody in their defensive depth that was in the defensive depth for the Washington State game last year. I mean, they are literally starting from scratch. You couldn't start more from scratch. And so you take that into account, and then you're also taking into account that, yes, they maximized their efforts in the transfer portal, but where Washington was able to go to Arizona to pick guys out with Jed Fish, now Jimmy Rogers, he comes from South Dakota State. They're picking up 16 new players that came from South Dakota State, an FCS team, so that they're shopping at a whole different grocery store compared to what Washington had to do last year. So those are some of the things you really have to look at, but because the personnel is so different, you don't really have a great feel for it. Then they've talked about the three or four different quarterbacks that they can throw at Washington this week, you know, because they had three different quarterbacks play against North Texas. So they have to guard against trying to figure out which quarterback they're going to use, which I think is a little overrated in my personal opinion, because I just don't think that that's a situation that Washington State wants to find itself in, but that's where they're at. And I think that's just symptomatic of the fact that Wazoo right now is just searching for answers anywhere they can find them.
He's Chris Fetters of Dogman.com. We'll get you out one more question. I got to ask the barometer, the level of conversations amongst the fan base or what you're hearing. If Billy Napier does get fired, do you feel good about keeping Jed Fish in UW?
Well, I would imagine a lot of people have talked about trying to extend him now, and my answer to that is why? What has he done? What has he done? I mean, yes, there is so many positives that you can talk about with Jed Fish right now, especially like in recruiting. He's starting to really restock the shelves in terms of that, and he's really made a focus on that. Really, you know, like he got five true freshman offensive linemen, for instance, and two of them are in the two deeps right now as true freshmen. I mean, he's really restocked the cupboard to a point where things are looking really, really good going forward. But if you look at his resume, if you look at what he's done, yes, he did great things in year three at Arizona. Well, we're not in year three at Washington yet. We're still just starting year two. And I understand the need for Washington fans to feel like they need to lock down the next guy. But Fish has also made no bones, guys, about if there's a pro opportunity that comes up to him and he feels like that's the move he needs to make to keep that upward trajectory moving in his career, he's going to take it. He's at Washington for a good time, guys, not a long time. I mean, that just seems to be a matter of fact. And that's starting to kind of be a matter of fact in college football anyways. I mean, the days of the Kirk Ferentz at Iowa are way gone. I mean, that's why he's getting so much acclaim right now, and he's going to be getting all the tributes, and they're all well-deserved. But it's because he is literally probably the last guy that's going to do what he's doing right now. And so if Fish is only here for two, maybe even 3 years, I think Washington is still well situated to move on to try to find another guy. Pat Chun, who was at Washington State, he's now at Washington. The athletic director, he's obviously made some really solid hires when he was at Washington State in the past. So I think Washington fans feel pretty good about where he stands and his ability to find more talent coming in. But again, just with so much turmoil and so much turnover, the transfer portal, everything else that's going on, NIL, cap, revenue share with the cap and all this, it's very hard to find the kind of continuity you really, really need to be unless your name is Ohio State.
Are you headed to Pullman?
Or Alabama or Georgia.
Are you headed to Pullman or are you staying in Seattle for the game?
No, we have somebody that's on his way right now and actually got word that there's a big traffic accident on I-90 heading east.
That sounds so, about right.
Yeah, a lot of Washington fans are going to be real thrilled about getting over to Pullman. It's But it is so odd thinking about what are travel plans in the middle or end of September for an Apple Cup as opposed to, you know, around Thanksgiving. It's just such a big change in everything. It's hard to kind of really it's just hard to grasp.
Totally. Better than the snow on that two-lane highway in November, I'll tell you that. He's Chris Fetters from Dogman.com. He's our Husky guy. Thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll check in with you later on down the road, and enjoy the game.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Of course, there you go. Chris Fetters from Dogman.com. A little hot and spicy there, yeah. I thought. Yeah. Bringing the thunder.
You,